The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He peered in and saw the burial cloth there, but did not enter. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloth there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloth, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first. He saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When people of my generation speak today of young people, they often do so in rather disparaging terms. They don't join organizations, they don't vote, they don't come to church. And yet every one of us has to sit in amazement at what young people did across this nation last weekend. You may not agree with their rally cry, but you have to be amazed at the way they focused in on an issue, at how articulate they are about the issue, and about how well they can use social media to garner hundreds of thousands of other young people across this land to join in their cry. Trust me, the next time there is a shooting in a school in this land, those young people will galvanize this nation in a cry that will not stop until it is heard. Politicians are telling us today they're going to make America great again. These kids are going to keep America great. They fill me with hope. Every 3 years, bishops from around the world are elected and go to Rome for what is called a synod of bishops. They meet for a month to discuss a predetermined topic and work from a position paper that has been prepared for them. At the end of the month, they make recommendations to the Pope, and he issues a document. The last synod 3 years ago was on marriage and the family, and out of it came Pope Francis's now controversial invitation that divorced and civilly remarried Catholics should be coming to communion. At the close of that last synod, he asked the bishops to make the next synod one that would address the question of priestly celibacy. Should we have married clergy? Bishops are too scared to address something like that. So they picked a safe subject. They're going to talk about young people and the church. And bishops from around the world have identified delegates, young people, who will go to Rome and interact with the bishops in this next synod. But Pope Francis called 300 of those young people to Rome week before last to prepare the working paper for that synod. And when he met with them, he said to them, "I want you to shout out what it is that the church disappoints you, what it is where the church is not meeting your needs. I want you to shout at the top of your lungs so that we hear you." Don't ever say that to young people. They gave him an earful. They said first and foremost and most emphatically, in fact, it is four times repeated in the document, "We will not be part of a church that does not treat women with equality. Women have too much to offer, and they have too long been sidelined." They said, "We want a church that is welcoming, that is merciful, that is forgiving, not only to those who meet the narrow standards, but to everyone." They said, "You set moral standards up here that are impossible for anyone to achieve, and then you make us feel like second-class citizens because we don't want it." They were incredibly critical of pastors and bishops, whom they said all too often are concerned about administration rather than walking the journey of life with us. And they said that those same pastors and bishops often set themselves up as being different from us and better from us. And they said, no, we're all sinners and we walk this journey together. Those young people fill me with hope. They're not walking away from the church. They're shouting out that they want the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed and push aside all the silliness that's been added to it. Hope. Hope is what today is all about. It is hope realized. Because of what happened this morning, death no longer has a hold over us. Instead, death is a door to a new and eternal day. Until you have taken someone you love deeply to the grave, you cannot know the depth of pain that accompanies that journey. The realization that you will never hear their voice again, never see their smile again, never feel their touch again, is a pain that goes so deep that no one can touch it. But because of this morning, as painful as that is, it is only temporary. You will see them again, you will know them again, and you will enjoy their love again. Don't ever doubt that promise of Jesus Christ. Easter is hope realized. Amen.